All right. So the guys who were here last week, how'd it go? Any successes or we don't really have failures, but any obstacles and successes? They're giggling, so we'll see. They've got something to say.
It was definitely harder at home than it was here.
Yeah. Groups are powerful. There's something to be said about the energy of the group. Yeah. She still doesn't like that. Is it that you don't actually like it or just feels difficult? Because some people don't actually like it.
I told her in the middle of my counting, I just started envisioning
Such a Jesus. We always talk about Vaughn.
And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful.
Did the magic number drop down for you? That can really be distracting when it's dropping down. 3's good. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Irene, how'd it go? Was it good for you? Didn't do any? Okay. It's fine. Did any of it, though, wash over your mind? Was it helpful? Nope. They're coming up.
I want to come up here and join you.
Either to confess or to join. I'm not sure.
Make myself part of it.
It's a little Billy Graham right now for a second. Okay. Good. Oh, he snuck in, didn't he? Hey, what's your name?
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, you want to just tell the whole class, since we just did it, why you're here? Good. I'm glad that it's reaching out. Jackie likes to know that data. I know she likes to know where it's all coming from. Okay, let's see. Who else? You, Lori. How?
I did practice and I did not fall asleep.
Yay. Daytime's better, isn't it?
Well, I did it right before bed.
Oh. That's my structure.
Set a little timer for 5 minutes.
Good. Good. Did it help your sleep at all by any chance?
Well.
Not a problem. Okay. How about you guys? It doesn't have to be collective. I'm sorry. How about you, Jim?
Well, I've been working on from the book.
Good. Kathleen McDonald, plug.
I've been focusing on meditation for about 4 weeks. And that's a tough one to get your arms. And the reason I'm doing that one is because it is to counter... Based on our likes and dislikes, we create the reality of a person that doesn't really exist. We don't necessarily even know them. And the fact that those thoughts just scream through the mind anyway, don't focus on those, don't believe in those
stories. Just staying with that. That's a really neat way to do it. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, lifetimes. That's helping you. And so I need to remind myself, I just made a flyer for all the teachers, and I just forgot because nobody at home streaming, we can wave to the streamers. They can't hear the questions because it's only the amplification they can hear. So most newbies aren't real comfortable with the microphone, so I'm just going to kind of repeat if something... He's working on the perception of the mind and the stories and the way that the mind creates things that can create anxiety too. I'm working on that myself. So he's working on the clarity of the mind meditation in the Kathleen McDonald book.
And the reason I'm there is because I've done the basic, I usually go through a basic routine.
Do you remember what that's called when you do that in the beginning?
Well, I can tell you what you do.
Well, just the term. That's called the stabilizing portion.
Yes.
Yeah, when you use something to start out the meditation. Sometimes we only do that, just the breath. And then sometimes we use the stabilizing portion, the breath work, to get the meditation started. And then once you feel kind of stable, and you may not, you may stay there for years, that's fine. Then you can move to another portion of meditation, and there's different types. So he's saying he's starting off with a breathing meditation. And Jackie, how's it cooking for you?
Great.
Just going right along with...
I assume it started out with stabilizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another one we'll talk about. How to see yourself as you really are. That's who wrote that? Was that actually the Dalai Lama? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recommended that one, didn't she? Geshe Wangmo recommended how to see yourself as you really are. Good. Good. Okay. Did I get everybody that was here last week? I think so. These are the other books that we. This is the one that's recommended by the FPMT course, How to Meditate, and it is available out there. This one's available out there, The Misleading Mind, The Misleading Mind by Karuna Caton, and he spoke here in town in the center. It was awesome. So this is a real simplified way. It's not strictly, he makes it sort of not literally Buddhism, so it's real palatable for everybody. That's a good one. This is the one I used a lot when I write a course. I wrote a course outside of the center and didn't want to talk about Buddhism, so I sort of extrapolated all the mind work and the brain. You know, if you like the science of it, this is really good. And a lot of people wanted this one, so they're ordering some more. Come on in. Hey. Buddha's Brain. So this is really fun if you like to pull apart what's actually happening in meditation, the science and the physics of it. So these are the books. You can look at them later. What's your name? Rasu? That's pretty. And do you want to just say why you're here? Just because we just finished that part. Sorry, put you on the spot. Latecomers have to do that. Okay, good. I would too. Good luck with that. So, and I meant that sincerely. It didn't sound very sincere. So we're going to talk about the where do the thoughts come from. Just have some fun pictures here to make it interesting. Let's revisit. Oh, let me just say a few things. If you wanted to get up and make a cup of tea or get some water, feel free to do that. And adding a little rules. If you do make a cup of tea, wash your cup. That's the new thing. If you move the cushions around, it's perfectly fine to add things underneath your thighs. That helps a lot. Then just put them back the way they were and then stack them underneath where, what's your name again in the back? No, Stuart? No. Your name? Yeah, you. Kevin. So right where Kevin and Nicole are sitting, stack the cushions that are extra cushions there. So we're trying to implement some consistency in the center so that when we leave, it looks similar to when we got here. What else? The bathrooms are right around the corner. Now, if your hips start hurting when you're sitting, just get up and go to the chair, and then when we get ready to do a meditation, you can come back. You can go back and forth. It's perfectly fine. It really does help to put a cushion. People ask about hips. I think Michelle was here last week. And if your legs, if your hips kind of ache, you can see that your knees are hanging, then add that extra little lift. You can even take your sweater and put it under there or something. Also, it's very important to try to have your hips higher than your knees. So even if you're really comfortable, like I'm comfortable on a much flatter cushion, but over time, that ends up hurting my knees and my hips. So just because it's comfortable for a few minutes doesn't mean it's actually good for the body in the long run, and we're trying to train the body to be comfortable so that you want to come back and meditate again. And feel free to put cushions under your feet if you're on the chairs too. And if you are sitting on chairs when we begin to meditate and you want to stay there, then it's best to pull your body away from the chair a little bit and just sit up straight and not use the back as a support. And then when we're done with meditation, you can chill back again. Chill back. I do that a lot. Karen knows that in yoga. All right. Let's see. We will start with, who remembers what PMS stands for? That was my own invention anyway, so it's positive mental states. Go for Renee. So that's just our kind of joke credo that we have, that we're trying to all agree that we want to have, hopefully we all agree that we want to have positive mental states. And so that's why we're here, to learn to meditate. So we're going to quickly go over the instructions for sitting. And since there are a lot of new people, I always end up going over this for a long time and then we don't get to the copy. So I'm going to kind of go through it a little quicker. The legs are your stable place. And that's creating the kind of the mountain, like the mountain sitting on the ground. And that's why it's this triangle base. So you want to have that feel nice and stable. Try, if your feet are uncomfortable, not to crisscross applesauce them because it can put one to sleep. So stack them or let one slip out in front of the other. You can see Tara sitting like that with one extended out like that. I like to stack them, but we tried that last week in some various examples. If they do go to sleep, it's best to move around a little bit and not let them get numb. Some people like to persevere. And I'm one of them. And then I get up and somebody asks me to get something and I look like Quasimodo trying to get to So your hands, it's suggested in this tradition that we do right hand on top of the left. They just stack and the thumbs go together like you're holding a piece of paper, real light. And you just let it rest on your lap. It's a little trickier when you're sitting on the chairs because they feel a little crowded. And then, let's see. Oh, and then you can also have them just on your knees like that. And then if your shoulders tend to roll in a little bit, I like to tell my, I'm a yoga teacher too, tell my yoga students to open their hands out. You can close the finger or not. But having them like that will tend to open the shoulders. But what it does is connect the arm to the body and creates heat. So in that way, this is why the Tibetans meditate like this. So they want to have airflow, which is the next one. Arms, it's good to have some airflow in here and keep it loose and comfortable. The spine. So you're trying to stack your vertebrae like coins. And there's many different ways to think about that. Like you can think of lifting up through the heart right in there. You can think of rolling your pelvis forward a little bit, zipping up a wetsuit. I've got lots of these from yoga. What else do we use? We can't use all of them in here. But lifting up. And then the way to get the spine straight is to think of lifting up through the back of the top of the head like you're being hung like a marionette. So you sort of, the chin will sort of lower. And because you don't want to have it like this condition, it can be bad on the neck and the cervical collar. And you can't see through your trifocals when you do that. You have to lower it down like that. So lifting up that way. And the, let's see what else. The mouth. So the tongue rests on the roof of the mouth and behind the front row of teeth. And that's apparently just to prevent drooling. Nothing too exciting about that. And it says you won't get dry mouth if you do that. So they say. And the eyes. So one thing I try to suggest, since I've done this for a while, I've always closed my eyes, and so it's really distracting if I open them. It's just so different. But if you're really new, try it, you know, and have a gaze, if you don't have a desk in front of you, kind of like that angle like this. But you're trying to see nothing. You're not trying to look at what's in front of you. You can even move the prayer books if you'd like. So it's a way to let light in. If you tend to get really sleepy, that will help. Yeah, I'm looking at Lori because she talked about that last week. I get a little sleepy sometimes in that way. Just let a little light in or envision something bright in your mind. That'll help. So any questions on the body? Anybody have particular complaints when they sit? All righty. So we'll move right along. We talked last week about you can't do this wrong. So I think a very important component of meditation is to realize that you're not trying to just not think of anything like that. I mean, that is just makes it so difficult. So for years, I thought that it was about trying to empty the mind and have nothing happening in there. So then I actually just felt like a failure. And I remember thinking, you know, I can't do this, which is what I hear a lot of now. My mind is so busy. I can't do this. So I encourage you to consider that it's just thoughts moving through the mind. And we're trying to become familiar with the mind, which is the word for meditation that's GOM, G-O-M, in Tibetan. So it doesn't really matter. And I think if you just get that from this whole class, that's wonderful. Just let those thoughts, we're going to learn how to maybe let them move away a little bit and not grab you so much. But don't think you're trying to not have thoughts, because it is a mind. They're going to rise. It would be really difficult to say, I'm going to just think of nothing. And that's not actually the point. We're trying to loosen the grip of the thoughts and then just let them drift in all these different ways we're going to meditate on today. So if that helps, I think that helps a lot of people. A lot of times when I say that, people go, oh, thank you, because I thought I was a failure. So when you drift, which is what we all do pretty much, does anybody not drift at all? Is anybody locked in like a... Okay. When we drift, then you want to be really, really gentle with yourself, depending on your background and your culture and your mother and father and whoever was talking to you when you were young. Be gentle and try to say you just drifted and don't add any extra language to it and just bring it back as if you were just talking to a child and say coming back. And then that way it doesn't disturb the mind so much. You don't want to go like that because that's disturbing. So you just recognize the mind has drifted And then you bring it back to whatever you've decided to meditate on, whether it's the breath or you have a specific object. I think that helps a lot, too, just to that gentleness. Because you may find, we were laughing last week, like, as soon as you think, what's a good one I do? Usually it's hunger. I'm hungry. And then I go to, I think I'm going to make green beans tonight. No. Brussels sprouts. I'm going to roast them. Wait, should I boil them a little bit first? What do they say to do in there? And then you're like, and then you go, do I have any? I'm going to stop by Harris Teeter. Wait, I'm out of gas. And there goes. And then you're just, you're doing a grocery store meditation. Amy? How many of you do grocery store meditations? Oh, not that many. Well, surprising. Rebecca's laughing. So, but that's the way the mind's going to go. Usually that's what we do. And when you've, that's a story. That's a little more than a drift. Now I've started a whole story about what I'm going to do. A drift would be, I'm hungry. That's the beginning of the drift. So as soon as you go, I'm hungry, and if you can go, yeah, good for you, okay, back to the breath. I know, back to the breath. Then you haven't really drifted, and you just kind of keep going. Once the story started, you have to bring the whole thing back. So if you can find it, once you get used to this, if you can find it drifting just a little bit, then it's not that hard to bring it back. You know, if you've fallen asleep, it's a little bit harder. But once all the, you know, an anger can arise, all the different things we're going to talk about. But if it's just simply drifting and it's gone off and it's telling you a story, then you just say, okay, I'm off in a story. But the best thing is to try to catch that little bit of a drift in the thoughts. Venerable Renee, who was here, said just pop those bubbles the minute they arise. I thought that was quite helpful. I think some of you, have you listened to Venerable Renee's teachings on the, have you found them? A really good thing I just found this week is on Vajrapani Institute's website, Venerable Renee, he's a teacher who came here, he's very close to my heart, very, very gentle, has a bunch of meditations. He's on Facebook too, but on the Vajrapani Institute website, some beautiful meditations that you can play and record, which a lot of us have agreed are really helpful when you're at home. So we were talking about, you know, recording them, so you might enjoy those. So we're going to do counting the breath meditation. So as we say before, assume the position. If you want to move to the chairs now, if your back hurts, or if you want to come to the floor. Just get yourself into a position that works for you. Eventually, once this position gets quite comfortable, it'll begin to settle your mind just because you naturally will be in this position. Look at all these floor people. This is great. All right. So just close your eyes or have them lightly open, and I'll guide you through this meditation. Focus your attention on your breathing and breathe naturally. Just focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. As we learn to begin most meditations with motivation, think that you are meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be of benefit to all beings. So start by focusing your attention at the opening of your nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel certain sensations as the air passes. As the small hairs move, the cooler sensations as you inhale, warmer as you exhale. Don't follow the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment, but place your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. Your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations only. As you inhale and exhale, mentally count each inhalation and exhalation together as one. Count from 1 to 10. Concentrating on those sensations. And when you reach 10, begin again at 1. we become distracted. The mind wanders to other things and moves away from the point of concentration. Then go back and begin again at one. If you recognize your mind has wandered and hasn't begun a story, then just keep on counting. Even if you never get past two, it's not a problem. The entire purpose of this meditation is to train your mind over and over to focus on one point only. And finally, dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Good. We're going to do another one after this so you can stay here for just a minute and then you can move. Is that okay for everybody? I didn't add in here. If you, we tried it last week. One thing you can do, too, if you really have a difficult mind today or whenever and it's just can't focus on it, you can try going, you can just stay really small, as Renee and I talked last week. You can go to 3, you can stay at 2, but if you want to go up to 10, and then instead of starting over again, if you want to go backwards, they say that can help the mind because you have to focus a little more to count backwards. So you can go to 10 and then 9 and then 1, so it kind of looks like a bell curve chart. Once you get, it's like our joke, once you get really good at it, not good in the right way, you'll find that you can keep that count going and then the story's going at the same time, and then you'll trick your mind and think, yeah, I got this. And then you'll think, no, wait, that's not the goal. So the goal is to try to just count and focus on it. Isn't it, does it kind of amuse you how hard that is? Most everybody says, why is that so hard? I'm just trying to count to 10. But I think that that shows us this is what our mind is doing all day long and why it's why so many conditions arise that are difficult, because we're just all over the place. So we'll try bare attention. We did this one last week too. So shake it a little bit if you need to and then move back into the position. Again, focus your attention on your breathing, breathing naturally. And now we're going to build our meditation. So you're going to use your own counting method as a stabilizing factor before we move on to the main body of the meditation. So if you happen to know 9 round or counting or any type you like, use something related to the breath to relax you back. And create an altruistic motivation for this meditation session. That we're not meditating just for our own benefit, but we're taking the time to meditate and develop our minds to become wiser and kinder, to benefit all beings. start by focusing your attention at the opening of the nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations again as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel certain sensations as the air passes. The inhale is usually cooler and the exhale is maybe warmer. But don't follow the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment. Simply place your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. And now think of yourself as a gatekeeper, just watching the breath flow past as it enters and exits the body, keenly observing everything that arises in this area of focus. You may even want to mentally note in and out, or breathing in, I am breathing in, and breathing out, I am breathing out. Using the breath as an anchor for your attention, if your mind is especially scattered and distracted, place more emphasis in your meditation on the element of concentration, focusing your mind more firmly on the breath. Distractions are very normal. Your attention may be distracted by a thought, or an external sound, or a sensation such as an itch or pain. Just let those go, and as soon as you come back, you'll realize that it has happened. Simply take note, such as thinking or sensation. Don't get disturbed if your mind wanders. Try not to judge. And very gently disengage from the thought or the distraction and return your attention back to the breath. And now to gain a deeper level of concentration and focus, loosen your concentration slightly and place greater emphasis on the element of mindfulness in your meditation. Allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless what it is. Try not to identify with the mental elements arising. Simply observe them like a tourist. Allow them to arise as you observe them and then pass away without getting involved. Just be aware. As you gain greater mastery over this kind of meditation, each time the mind wanders from the breath, begin to note specifically how and where it has wandered. Did it go to the past? Did it go to the present? Was it getting dreamy? Was it planning? What kinds of thoughts tend to attract the mind's attention? And then what does this indicate about the delusions that play a role in your life? throughout the day, you can check whether or not you're being mindful. And asking yourself if you always know what you're doing while you're doing it. Meditation is not an isolated activity. It's an integral part of our lives. And once again, dedicate all the positive energy you have created through the practice of mindful meditation to becoming a better person who is more at peace and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. So you can move around if you need to. Okay, how was that one? A little different. We added a little catch to it. Did you get the part where we're stabilizing the breath? And then you moved past it to try to watch. How was that for everybody? Anybody have any questions about it? Was that good for you? Did you like that? All right. So let's look further where we're going. So how do you feel about the difference between the differences and complements to concentration and mindfulness? Anybody want to speak for that one? That would be like a mindful way of living. And so in meditation, you might say you're using the mindfulness to apply it to the concentration. You are concentrating, but you're taking the mindfulness aspect and then letting the meditation be mindful. And the concentration, so we're trying not to concentrate on the surroundings and just focus on the breath, like you said. And does that make sense? You got a question? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's got the new analogy. Mine was the lute, but yeah, that's a good one. So I think we mentioned that last week. Did we talk about those strings? That if you tighten them, you can't even play the note, and if they're too loose, you can't play the note. Maybe that was somewhere else. So that's like the mindfulness is knowing where to put the attention. I like when it said, now, like concentrate, now loosen that concentration. That's interesting, isn't it? Like, so Venerable Rene talks wisely about, you have to constantly go, do I need to add a deeper concentration to this part because I'm drifting? And now I'm like, you know, hyper-focused and I need to loosen a little bit. And it's always trying to get that middle ground, and it's very, my word for the week is mercurial. I like that. So it's, you know, it just feels like it's going all over the place, right? So you have to know to apply the mindfulness as the gatekeeper watching it and saying, I need to get a little more focused. I need to get a little less, like, pull back a little bit. So that anybody experienced that, that you had to kind of try that? Did you see that, Jill? You're looking serious. The breath or the...
Concentrating on the breath.
They're so different. I mean, like you might find you meditate in here, one session, and you go into meditation and it feels so relaxed and blissful. And the next one, you're just absolutely agitated and itchy. And you know what I mean? They're really different, aren't they? Have you guys experienced that? Even if you're new to it? Like they can be all over the place.
I was just really irritated with my foot.
Yep. Foot meditation. And that's really funny. I had, in one class, we decided to meditate on whatever pain arose. So, and everybody's got something. It's really easy to get like this right in the middle of your shoulder blades, you know, or people have a hip or a knee. Usually you get a knee. Oh, over here. Like a constricted breathing sense or? Yeah, it's like the mind, I mean, so many things arise. And so what they're trying to say is actually try. It's very difficult to defocus on that because that's really, if you see the mind as this like little elf walking around going, I mean, it's like it's trying to trip you up all the time. Does it? That's what it feels like in here. I don't know about you guys, but it's trying to say, come over here. This is on sale, you know. It's like it's always something new and different, and it's just banging around and wants you to look. So it goes, your ankle hurts, and it's just like a kid, you know, going mom in the store. What? I mean, not even the mom. I'll answer for the mom because the mom didn't hear it anymore. Now that I have a kid, I know exactly what that means. But if you think of the body doing that, and the mind doing that, or not the body because it would be the mind doing it, just say, I hear you. I know my foot's asleep. I can either move it. Venerable Rene did it like this. He's like, you know, just move the foot and keep yourself meditating. And you can move it around, bring it back, just stay quiet. Or say, I'm not going to pay attention to you. Don't have to be mean, but yeah, Tavis. Yeah. It screams louder. Yeah, that's what I started out saying, and then I didn't finish like that, actually, because I was saying when we meditated on it, we did it on purpose. Nobody's pain stayed. Nobody's. Like, everybody went, oh. So that's great. And you, if you do it all the time, though, it would be you'd be going everywhere. But try it for fun and just it really that would be like looking at the cut. Have you ever seen it go seen someone look at the child and say what, you know, when they're repeating themselves and they go, I don't know, like they forgot completely what they just got so used to saying mom, you know. I would think Nicole knows that. she has three. And they do. So that's really what the body's doing or the mind's doing is just kind of screaming out. So you can give it its full attention and then it will go away. Or you have to try it. Like, of course, we know we have to do different tricks with all of it. But try them all. And then you'll have to change up, too. So thanks, Tavis, for keeping me on cue there. Mm-hmm. Is it exaggerated? Yeah. Yeah. I know. They say when you're starting to get a little bit deeper that things get exaggerated, like all of a sudden you hear like it's some twilight zone. And that's natural, too. It's the mind still playing tricks on you to just, you have to learn, and you will, to just let it go. I'm not going to follow that. I mean, when the train comes by, it did. But that wasn't even a good dose of the train. That was like a light train. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know how it's lighter, but sometimes it's like, it's going to hit me, I know. When my eyes are closed, in the yoga room, we just go, because it feels like it's just going to plow right into you, because things get exaggerated. And that's just another kind of trick that's happening. And so when, and I'm not using you, I am using you, but when that happens, you kind of feel like a child that's just so distracted. So you have to talk to yourself like that and say, you're just being distracted, you know. Just, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. But you do, you kind of hear, you know, everybody swallowing. And there's a lot of different things you can do for that. We just imagine the, we don't really talk about emptiness here, but you just imagine like that that's not that important. And so I'm going to let that fade away, to fade into the background. But all those things are going to happen. So we talked about that. So in the mind, we were looking at this picture, just thinking about, like, what is the mind? And the mind is actually the essence of the mind, everybody's mind, not just some of you, and not someone who's just enlightened, and not, you know, everybody's mind. It's really hard to get a hold on that. It's clear and knowing at its base. All of you, me, my daughter, who doesn't seem clear and knowing right now at 13, but everybody's mind is clear and knowing. And so the thoughts are like clouds that are just moving through the sky. You've probably heard those analogies before. And if you think about that, your mind is like the clear blue sky, and the thoughts are just drifting by, and sometimes they're thunder clouds, and they're huge and luminous and feel like they're going to pound, you know, they're just so big. And sometimes they're wispy and light, and then they come and go. They can be full and little, and it's just going to flow through. But if you kind of think about it as something that's moving away, but they're still queuing up. It feels like they're kind of going in a circle. But that's one way to look at it. And we're going to do a meditation on that, like to think of the thoughts moving away like that. That can help. So the thoughts, the mind is not the brain. So for some people, this is actually quite difficult. And we can talk about it further. But there are two different things. The brain is the organ, you know, the gray matter, as Perot would say. And the mind is the essence. You can't grab it. You can't touch it. You can't cut apart and see it. You know, it's that essence of us that makes up who we are. So when you start to think about they're separate, that gets quite interesting too. Does anybody have any questions on that? Yeah. Yeah. Some people use that word, or, you know, we can call it just consciousness or, And we don't use the word soul in Buddhism very much, we don't use it at all. But it is, it can be, yeah. Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? We just don't, it could just be semantics, but it isn't considered that we actually have a soul, which can be really harsh to say for some people. Yeah. It suggests that there's a consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, some people still like to use the word soul, like soulmate. You still hear that? Mm-hmm. Right. So for the streaming people, Chris is saying the consciousness goes from life to life and moves through, and we don't have to discuss, because this isn't a class to discuss whether we all believe that or not. And then the soul sometimes is seen as this one life's term. That kind of works, doesn't it, as a model? It just moves through. It's from body to body. And for whatever we inhabit next time, it's the consciousness that goes on the mind. The mind stream continues from life to life. You have in a moment. Oh, yeah. That's a really good movie. If anybody, I'd like to mention, what's the list of our Buddhist movies? The Matrix, Groundhog Day. Sliding Doors. That's the other one I love. And Cloud Atlas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's Cloud Atlas. It's about all the different lives. So like, say, Halle Berry, she, and who else? Tom Hanks. They had so many different roles in it. So they were doing that kind of, like Robin Williams did a movie called, I think it was Being Human, a long time ago. I've never met anybody who's seen that, but I don't think I dreamt it. But he it starts off where he's piling stones, and it ends where he's piling stones. But he's a caveman here and a businessman here, like in his garden or something, you know. So it's kind of a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the duality of thinking that they're separate. Yeah, we are. Here we go. So, Let's get back to meditation. So what we think that we are may be different than what we actually are. You know, the kind of constructs like Michael is a label. And we are so identified with who we are, and we just, I like the word concretize. Is that actually a word, Jim, Tina? Concretize? Yeah. If I don't think it's a word, I can't spell. To make something concrete. But I like to say it.
Concretize.
I like to say that. Concretize. Okay. Mercurial and concretize. In this. I don't think I could use them. Yeah. But I couldn't use them together. It'd be fun. Because they're different, obviously.
Buddha is considered one of the 24 Tinker Tailors. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
It's not Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
It's what the Jains believe. One who has conquered water. Wow. Being one who has conquered water.
Because once your mind is transcended, you conquer the thing. The elements don't.
Right.
We're going way too far from my.
Sorry.
No, but I mean, not. You can say it. I can't.
Right.
You know, talk about that. Really, that would be. But. Gone beyond would be definitely we can be safely saying one who has gone beyond. But the beautiful thing is to imagine that Michael can go beyond too. You know, I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is to go beyond, go far beyond. That's the heart sutra. Mhm. Yeah. Right. That's what we talked about last week, right? We said when you get the mind, who's watching? Who's the one watching you count the breaths? When you go, who's the one who realized you just got off track? If you're watching, you know, it really gets quite interesting there. And then you can work with that in your meditation to say, who is the one that's breathing? And who is the one noticing that I'm not breathing, or I quit breathing, or that I'm breathing shallowly, or that I've lost my breath, or I've lost the count, that kind of thing. That is the beautiful part of it all. So, the beautiful and the part that gets to be really fascinating is when we start to realize that the source of all our unhappiness, our suffering, is simply because of where the mind is going. So in this meditation, they ask you to look at where your mind was going and to maybe make some connections with the delusions that you live with, which was, you know, if you got that far, sometimes you might get sleepy by that point. Maybe if you notice that part, that all the things that happen within whenever the mind shifts to jealousy or anger or attachment or all those little things that come up, that's still just a thought that's happening in the mind. But it feels like much more than that because we concretize that. We make it seem really solid, like he's doing this to me or that's happening. And then that makes us unhappy. And then we think that that's all. I think Venerable Rubini used that, didn't she?
We believe it
to be so, as they say. And then we believe in it. And then that's when everything starts to ripple and all the crap comes in. So in meditation, really, I mean, you're trying to just let go of all those labels. I like to do one with my students that come to my studio and just like let go of, you start off, I usually start off with let go of your name and let go of your, we do that sometimes in yoga, let go of your, like mother, daughter, niece, nephew, all the parts, all the labels that make up everything about you, son, grandson, grandfather, you know, all those, like let go of all that, and then just keep letting go maybe of your title and your job and your, is it a word? Yes!
To make concrete.
Yeah. Concretize. IZ, okay. And the IZE. Yeah, I think that's one of Venerable Renee's, or Venerable Rubina's words. Concretize it, because she uses it with her accent. So the labels, and then, so your position, your job, your title, and all that. And then the time, you know, then the decade, where you are in time. And if you like, let go of all of that, it just leaves you with this mind sitting here. It doesn't matter what sex you are, anything about it. You're just this mind working on this mind. And that's really a fun meditation, too. You can try that at home. So changeable and impermanent, recognizing that all the thoughts that are rising, because we're concretizing them, we think that they're not changing or impermanent. So then we grab a hold of it and we make that, that's something that's making us suffer. But if we really could understand that they're impermanent and they're changing, it would be elusive. It would be slippery. It would be mercurial. So, so sometimes, like when my daughter was really little and she was doing something, I had the mind that this is the way she was going to be, and I get locked in and just suffer. And people would have to remind me she probably won't be doing that in college. A lot. Do you ever feel that, Nicole? Like you just get, I think once you have 2 and 3, it probably gets to be a little easier. Is that true? I mean, not easier as a parent, but that thought process. Does that get a little easier because now you know that they're going to grow? This too shall pass. And I, yeah. With one, I didn't quite get there. And so everything she does seems like this is the way it's going to be forever. And so that's what we're doing in our own mind when we have those young thoughts about ourselves that are self-deprecating, or, you know, we're dropping into that lower age. And then we kind of think that's the way it is, and it's not true. If you really could realize impermanence, nothing could ever bother you because you would know it was going to change. If you complain about a knee pain, how many times have you complained about it and then you realize a month later that it's gone and you forgot that you had it? Like, oh, my knee doesn't hurt anymore. You know? It's all impermanent. So that's really helpful when things start to get tough, is to add that piece into your mind. And another analogy that we're going to do later next is the mind like the sky. We did that. And then the mind like the ocean. So they try both of them, and they want you to talk about which one's more beneficial. So this helps me a lot. It didn't help me as much in the meditation until Venerable Rene did it one time. And like all the thoughts are happening, and if you imagine them as waves in the ocean, and then you dive underneath. So I think we all have that sense of what it's like to be under the water and how quiet that is. Most people talk about how it's like their own little world, especially if you scuba dive, you know, or snorkel, you go deeper. But when you're under, you really have forgotten about the waves. You can't perceive the waves when you're under the water. I mean, if the ocean's ferocious, you can. But think about just being in this quiet place in the water. But the waves are still happening. You can be pretty convinced that they're still rolling, unless the world ended when you dove down. They're still rolling. So those are the thoughts. So for me, one thing I'm working on, when my mind is just going crazy, I just try to dive in to my meditation and just let the thoughts, as if they're above me, and float by. And I don't concern myself with them. And if you can get some of that separation, it I think it helps. That's what, you know, there's going to be lots of little tools. But that works for me. How is it possible to calm the turbulence of the mind's movement to reveal the natural, peaceful, and pristine clarity of the mind? So that's the FPMT language. And so I guess we just explain that when you delve down underneath, you can see that they still might be turbulent up there, but you aren't going to pay attention to them. So that's how you can let that loosen. So now we're going to do Mind Like the Sky. So before we do that, does anybody have any questions on that? Any discussion or comments? Jim, you're looking. Yeah. 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 If you're visual, some people find that they aren't actually very visual, and then they think that they're doing something wrong, but it might be just that doesn't work for you. So you can imagine that your breath is the thing that's blowing them away and letting them move past. Yeah, good, thanks. Okay, you ready? Mind like the sky. So this is going to be, we're now delving into, oh, it's not too long, but just try to stay with the subject. So the meditation is, I'll read you, it says about this meditation. In our ordinary perceptions, our thoughts and feelings seem to be all there is in our mind, one thought, feeling, image, or idea after another. All these mental contents seem to fill up our minds completely as if our minds are small, finite containers. But this is an illusion, a misperception on our parts. Our minds are vast and infinite, clear and spacious. Our minds have no boundaries and no limits. When we experience the vast, clear spaciousness of our mind, the clarity of our awareness, we begin to see how our thoughts and feelings are like clouds in the sky. Simply passing through this vast, spacious awareness and not filling it up. Suddenly we have some space from the endless attachments, aversions, and dissatisfactions of life. So return to your breathing, using counting the breaths or nine rounds to settle the mind, bringing it to a deeper state of focus and concentration. So create an altruistic motivation again for this session. You're meditating to benefit yourself and also many, many others as we become wiser and more kind. We then are more able to be beneficial. These meditations are building on themselves, so we start by practicing the bare attention like our last meditation, being aware of the breath, then loosening the concentration to move into a deeper concentration. Emphasize the element of mindfulness in your meditation more strongly. Allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless of what it is. And don't identify with the mental elements arising. Simply observe them, like a tourist, allowing them to arise as you observe them and pass away without getting involved. Just be aware. Now allow your mindful attention to expand, to encompass your entire sphere of experience, of consciousness. Forget that there is an observer and something being observed. Simply imagine your experience, your consciousness, as being just like the sky, completely clear, vast, spacious, and without end. Concentrate deeply on this experience. Identify with this experience of clarity, spaciousness, and awareness. Our minds are completely clear, just as the sky is completely clear. The light of the sun shines down on us through the clear sky. Our awareness and wisdom shines through the clarity of our minds. Sometimes clouds fill the sky and obscure the sunshine. But the sky doesn't get upset. The sky doesn't identify with the clouds. The sky doesn't judge. The clouds just pass through the spaciousness of the sky. They come and they go. The clarity and spaciousness of the sky isn't compromised by the clouds. They just arise and pass. Our minds are clear and aware, spacious like the sky. When a thought or an emotion or an idea or an image or a sensation arises in your mind, just observe it, let it arise, and let it pass. Each thought, each mental event is just like a cloud. Your mind, the sky. Concentrate on that experience of space and bliss. Whenever we identify with and are carried away uncontrollably by a thought or a feeling, we lose any awareness of the spacious clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within which each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective becomes small and constricted. It's as if all there are clouds, we've lost the sky. We lose that wonderful open spaciousness. When we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the sky instead of with the clouds, then we can reside in that spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind. Calm, clear, peaceful, open spaciousness. Without agitation, without delusions, without anxiety, and without distress. Without dissatisfaction, attachments, or aversions. We can finally feel at peace. And now dedicate all the positive energy of this meditation to becoming a better and better person who is more at peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. That one's pretty nice, isn't it? Is that okay for everybody? That doesn't usually create too much tension or stress. It usually feels pretty wide open, right? Just like that. How was your foot? Good. Okay, so now we're going to compare it to, if anybody wants to move to the chair, do that. We're going to do meditation like mind like the ocean. Back to back. Okay, wiggle around if you need to. Since we're all relaxed, we'll just cut to the chase on this one. Okay. Move back into your comfortable position, focusing on the breath. Again, counting, using whatever you need to stabilize. And again, create your motivation. Each time we meditate, we hope that we become more wise and more kind so that we can benefit ourselves and many, many others. moving back into the bare attention, focusing on the breath. And then when you gain a deeper level of concentration and focus, again, loosen your concentration slightly, emphasizing mindfulness. And again, become the tourist, noticing what's coming and going, letting them pass away without getting involved. Allowing your mindful attention to expand and encompassing your entire sphere of experience of consciousness. Letting go of the observer and something being observed. Identifying with the calm, clear, spatial awareness of the mind. So now the mind can be likened to an ocean, and the thoughts and the other mental events to fish swimming through the clear, spacious medium. We are ordinarily unaware of the nature of the mind and instead observe only the fish-like thoughts. It is as though we were observing an aquarium through a large glass wall, and at first we look at the fish. If someone were to tell us to observe the clear water in which the fish were swimming, we might first have difficulty noticing it because of its transparency. But then we realize the fish could not be swimming in there unless there was some substance to swim in. So we take our attention away from the fish and focus instead on the clear water. In a similar fashion, we let go of paying attention to our fish-like thoughts and step back and recognize the clear light nature of our mind, in which all our thoughts and our mental events occur. We identify with our minds like an ocean, with that clear spaciousness. In our ordinary state of mind, as we go about our business every day, with conversations and planning, thinking and worrying, making lists. It's as if we're living on the surface of that ocean, and all those thoughts and feelings and ideas seem to fill our minds, making lots of waves and turbulence and agitation. But as we identify more and more with the ocean-like mind and let go of all the wave-like emotions and fish-like thoughts, it's as if we start to descend to the quiet depths of that ocean-like mind. We reach a state of mind that is more peaceful, still, free of agitation and disturbance. In looking at the aquarium, we'll still see the fish swimming in front of us, even as we focus on the water. However, when we focus our attention on the clear light nature of the mind, our thoughts will begin to diminish in intensity and frequency, thereby quieting the mind and enhancing our ability to concentrate. Whenever we identify with and are carried away uncontrollably by a thought or feeling, we lose any awareness of the spatial clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within which each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective becomes small and constricted, and it's as if all there are waves, we've completely lost the ocean. When we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the ocean instead of the fish, and the waves, then we can reside in the spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind. Calm and clear, peaceful, open spaciousness. Without any dissatisfaction, attachments, or aversion. agitation, delusions, or anxiety. We feel peaceful and relaxed. And now dedicate the positive energy of this meditation to becoming better and better and more peaceful and bringing peace and well-being to others every moment and every day. Okay. So move around if you need to. Which one did you like better? Sky or the ocean? Beth, the collective has spoken. They like both. Really? Ocean. At first, when I was in this class last time to kind of study how Dave was teaching, I thought the sky was much easier. But now that I've taught this twice and I've actually heard what I'm supposed to be meditating on, the ocean one was pretty cool. So I kind of, that's pretty neat. Which one did you like, Rebecca? I know what you mean, yeah.
And then, seeing that become clearer, and the sky, the clouds, and now it's beautiful.
I do exactly what she did when I dive down. It's really dark, and this is, you know how we all have these little tricks. I just let it be kind of dark for a minute, and then I add light to it, like you said, because it kind of goes, it's really dark down here. So, yeah, it's funny, when you dive down, you feel.
The darkness peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Start out, let it be peaceful.
Start
Subdued. Yeah. Chris, what'd you think?
This is the first time I've heard the ocean.
Yeah, it's pretty new. We haven't used it much.
And, but for me, there was just too much junk.
Your ocean was polluted? There's not as much stuff in the sky, right? Which one? Sky. They're just thoughts, yeah. Oh, just debris. That's interesting, isn't it? How about you guys, Jackie? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to work at different times too. Kara, how was that? Mm-hmm. Good. They're different every time, aren't they, because of what we bring to it. Did anybody have a big school of fish come up? And yeah, Chris did. How's that for you? Did you like that? I can't remember how to say your name. No, yeah, the sky worked better for you? Oh. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Isn't that funny how you have this image of sky, like, that's mine. And I never thought sunrise. Now I'm going to be in a sunrise. Or sunset. Either one would be. That's lovely. Thank you. Yeah, she had a very creative sky. Very painterly. So we only have 10 minutes left, and last time I didn't get very far either. There's a lot of material in this one class. So discussing the illusion, the delusions of the mind, anger and jealousy, attachment and greed. I think it's interesting to see those after we've done this, as the debris and the clouds and the fish, as when these things arise, is it hard for you to see them as thoughts and as not just like that's the way I feel right now, but to let them, is it hard to make them a little looser, even the difficult emotions? You look like you're ready to say something. Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly said. It's, that's why we come, here we have the group energy. It's a lot easier than at home on the cushion. It's easier. Workforce and car and all that. That's where it's hard. But that's why we're doing this, so we can bring all of that to our life. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just the mind saying, this is what I want to do right now. And we all get caught up in something. If you do that, you could stand on the outside and watch the aquarium. You could try that if you get carried away in something. Because it is funny, our mind will just go, oh, the waves are too harsh. Or, it's kind of like we develop these stories. Mm-hmm. In it. That's, yeah. Yeah, I think, but watching that, if you look at the aquarium, that is one way to see. You are only looking at the fish. Like, it is really hard to look at the water. That was kind of cool when they said, look at the water. And,
I don't know if this helped me, so I'm just going to share it. But when I was in the ocean, I envisioned myself as a fish, being by myself, just making a migration, worrying about the simplicities of just swimming. My tail going back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and the water being very, very clear, very calm.
And that worked for you? Yeah.
Perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like the aquarium reference because those fish are being held captive out of their natural environment. So I didn't really like the whole aspect of, staring at the fish.
Yeah.
But I did like the ocean a lot more so than the sky aspect because I've flown in an airplane before, but I'm not familiar with swimming. I swim in a lake and an ocean.
You have that concrete feeling of that.
I know how to swim, but I do not know how to fly.
Yeah.
But I really like the ocean.
That's interesting. I should be repeating these. I forgot. So the ocean's easier to conjure up a feeling of being in the water versus flying like a bird in the sky. Yeah. Was I thinking of when you said? Yeah, that's good. It's all interesting, isn't it? So trying to work with those uncontrolled or, those emotions that arise as thoughts, as clouds, as fish, as, all that stuff that can kind of help loosen some of the attachment we have, attachment being one of them, but attachment to our own problems and issues. One thing, this is just, I have a Don't Bite the Hook from my other classes. Pema Chodron has a great book. So if you ever want to read Don't Bite the Hook, it's really, I listened to it on tape, but it's just a great way to realize that when we get involved with something, we are actually the one who's biting the hook. It's not coming from their side. We're the one engaging in whatever somebody's saying. So in this class, we whip through these things quicker than I'd like to spend more time on that. But identifying with a negative affliction, like I'm just angry, and trying to see that as a thought instead of I'm angry, because that is a great place to use concretize. You're making it really, I am angry right now. But I can't exist as an angry person because that would mean then I would always be angry. That's a really interesting way to look at it. I can't be one thing all the time, which means then I can't be that. So if A, then B kind of thing. If I can't be just an angry person, then you have to really look at, well, what is that? And then you think it is just a thought arising. I can't exist as just a happy person because I'm not always happy. I can't exist as one thing. You can't exist as... they use that a lot for prisoners. So if a murderer murdered somebody, that was only a brief moment in their whole life. They may have been loved. They may love. They may hate. They have all these different things, the same things we have. But at one point in time, they murdered somebody. So to call them a murderer is like saying that's all they are. And everybody's everything. And so that's why the labels are not helpful, because we can't be one thing.
If you say, I
Yeah. So saying I am anything is negating impermanence because we can't, yes, yes, we can't be like, it doesn't work like that. So that in itself is a nice meditation. You could start with a stabilizing breath and then move through some things that you might label yourself as and then try to see them moving away and not labeling yourself as that. We didn't get to do our activity. Look, there's like two more pages. This is a really, this one session seems to have a lot. I'll just do this one because I think this is really fun. So, anybody like these? I need somebody that hates them because that really makes it effective. Okay, Catherine, great. Irene's not like, nah, not interested. So what I usually do is bring brownies, but that's a different course. And we talk about where deliciousness exists, which is so much fun. But in here, we're just saying, so if this truly, who really likes them, like freaking loves brownies?
I love brownies.
Jackie? High on the scale. And Michael's like, yeah, he's just blissing out looking at it. So if Jackie ate one brownie, she'd be really pretty happy. And two? And three?
Now I'm
and four? And five? And then this many? So, if it's true that one brings you happiness, then that would make you practically enlightened. If it's true, so do the math. What does Clinton say? Do the arithmetic. If one makes you really happy, then it would have to be true that 500 would make you blissed out. So if that's not true, then that can't be true. So that's a really interesting way to look at things. So the happiness is not, you know, in the brownie. So, and the thing that we do in the class that's really fun is like this. We have 3 minutes left, and I'll start talking about that. But deliciousness can't quite exist in that brownie, because if it did, then it would be delicious to Catherine, and it would be delicious to Irene. Catherine, right? And since it's not, it means it can't be delicious to Brittany. I mean, she thinks it's delicious, maybe. Jackie's convinced it's delicious. But the deliciousness can only exist where? In your mind. And then I play a little song from Beck. Does anybody know it's all in your mind? That's what I wake up to every morning. Look it up. It's so beautiful. He just sings, it's all in your mind. And then remind myself every morning when I wake up, oh, yeah, it's all in my mind. That's the only place these things exist. As soon as the stress starts to kick in and I realize, I forgot I was worried about something. What was that? You know, like the whole story comes back out of a sleep. The whole thing, happiness, sadness, anxiety, it all comes back in after. Like, that's just crazy. That should prove to us it's a story that we've forgotten what we were worried about and we have to remind ourselves, what was I worrying about? So deliciousness can't exist in the brownie. It only exists in your mind. Therefore, anything that's happening, if I was yelling at Nicole, let's say, and she was convinced that I'm angry and yelling at her, she's actually the one who's creating, she's not creating the anger, you know, but she's creating the idea that she doesn't like that from her side. So someone else might think it's kind of funny. Like if you really knew me, you might think it was kind of funny that I was yelling. Or you might say, oh, isn't that cute? You know, I love it when she's a little mad. Or someone else might not even notice. Someone else might have no feeling. Someone else might be terrified because it reminds them of their childhood. So all those experiences are going on. Have you ever seen these chalk drawings? Mm-hmm. I did a real simple one because the other ones didn't have both sides. So this is a drawing of the globe just in chalk on the street. But that's really what it looks like when you turn around and look at it from another perspective. And I love that. If you want to pass it around, it's kind of fun. I love that idea. Remind yourself when you're in a situation, if I just could walk around and look at this from the other side. So if Nicole could hear me yelling at her, but just remove herself from what's coming out of my mouth and hear it as Peanuts gang, then she would see there's nothing that can actually be angry coming out of my mouth. I mean, it seems like it is, But they're just words, and we've just agreed that these words exist, not that, I mean, you know, relative to time. They've just come together as English in a short period of time, really. So it seems like anger, but it's only if you decide you want it to be like that in your mind. So that's, you have a choice to say, you know, she would, if she was really wise, then she would just see that I'm actually the one suffering because I'm the one yelling and there's anger arisen in me. It doesn't have to be, doesn't have to arise in her. I hope not. Hope I wouldn't be yelling at her too. So that's that take two kind of idea. You know, when any scenario is bothering you and you're in the car or wherever you are that you're having difficulties, step back, take two, get a different perspective, all these analogies, and try to think, where's that coming from? And just use the brownie in your mind, like, wait, I forgot something about that brownie. What's about that? And then debate in your mind and remind yourself, oh, yeah, it can't exist like that. And if it's really difficult, you can take it to the cushion. And they say you don't want to practice meditating on anything, anger, you know, you don't want to use that as your object very often. But one thing that can be effective is you can actually relive a very difficult situation or start with something a little simpler. And then do a take two and imagine the director has just spoken and you see it as a set, like a TV screen or a TV set, like Friends. Picture a TV set. And then see the whole thing pulling back. And the director goes, that was great, Brittany. I liked your emotion. I liked your chutzpah in it. Now let's see if we can take it in a different direction. And then go, okay. You know, and go back into the set. And then in your mind, you're alone. Try it again and see if you can lighten it up a little bit or do whatever you need to do and morph it a little and change. And then he says, good, good. And then he just keeps urging you to take, he's trying a different angle. And eventually see if you can get to the point where you actually see where the anger is coming. You know, you, whatever's happening, you can see it for what's truly happening. See the impermanence in it, whatever way you want to use, until he says, good, you know, until you feel like you're actually kind of calm and there's nothing left in you, and he says, print, cut and print. That's a, I think that's a fun meditation. We'll play with that at home. All right, so that's that. Any questions? Anything anybody wants to mention? Nope. All right. So we want to encourage you to find a place at home that anybody started trying to find. She bought her cushion today, so yay for Lori. And to start, whatever it is you do, to collect something, you know, to make your spot beautiful, it can be very small. But try to find a place that you, that's going to be just yours and not just the cat's. And then carve out that little spot for you so that you actually want to go to it. You're trying to create a relationship with this, with the sitting practice. And then in that way, you'll desire it. So that's why you want to get up if you get a little agitated and it's really hard, and then come back to it when you feel more gentle. Sound good? All right. I look forward to hearing from you next week and seeing how it's going. Thank you. You're welcome.